Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Hey, it's Veterans Day, so we're taking a little bit of time. First of all, just to get you back to your blooming onions and your baby back ribs. So we're trying to get you out of here a little bit earlier, but we also wanted to do a show and do a breakdown of this past week of college football. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Dano's calling to you out of coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe is on the way. So until then, Dan, how was your weekend? What'd you end up doing outside of shopping with your 40% discount today?
So it was way better after Army's win. Was super impressed with the Black Knights defense and just with the game plan as a whole. Obviously, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, this being the combined Army / Roundtable show. You know, Navy looked good, looked like they're back. Georgia definitely is not. Georgia Tech won, which would have made my dad happy if he was still alive. He was a big Georgia Tech fan. You know, I, as we all do, sometimes enjoy watching Navy struggle, but it was cool this week because they put the idea of potential back-to-back Army-Navy games back on the board. And for as much as I don't necessarily believe that that's going to happen, and I think Tulane might beat them next week, that's still probably the raddest thing that could happen, be play at West Point followed by playing at DC.
Yeah, that'd be pretty interesting. I think that makes for a good game. For me, of course, this weekend, I watched Army football again. Dude, like, I think we let the secret out early that the defense was good, but boy, are they good. Like, yeah, let's be real. Like, selfishly now, like, I don't want to see the shutout for the sake of, you know, being a defensive hearted person. I want to see the shutout for the team because the guys are working their asses off. Mm. And, you know, that's like the cherry on top of a great defensive season is to, you know, sneak a shutout or two before the end of the year. But, credit to the other team for being able to move the ball even as much as they did to get into position to score a field goal. Watch Jackson Dart light up Georgia. But here's the real question. Does Georgia have a quarterback problem? Because Carson Beck has thrown 6 picks in the last 2 weeks. I mean, you're not going to win when you're giving the ball away that many times. And I think that's part of their struggle. And we're really starting to realize why he was the backup for so many years rather than the number one guy, because clearly he has some decision-making issues. Watch the Buffs play tough against Texas Tech. Texas Tech held him down for a little bit. And then, Shador Sanders, like, who would have thought Shador Sanders has a QB freaking rushing touchdown in a football game? But that's one of the aspects that you're starting to see him add to his game very, very late in this season. And again, they're making their case. And then I watched the, all right, so this will be a topic for next week, I think. But I watched a lot of bad officiating, and it's like it's starting to get worse the deeper we get into the season. And if you watch the BYU game, you know, there's a defensive holding call while the quarterback was getting sacked. And it's like at that point, they should have been focusing in on the quarterback getting sacked because it looked like it was going to be a safety, and they negated a safety. That would have been the difference in the game. You know, so if you're a Utah fan, I'm feeling for you today because that really, really sucks. But my fear is, you know, as we get into pay to play and all the NIL stuff, I just don't want college football to turn into the pros. Like, hey, look, if it's a wide open game and Kansas City stomping everybody, like, we don't care. But like the moment the game is closed, somebody steps on Patrick Mahomes' shadow and they're throwing flags all over the place. You know, I have a problem with that. I don't want to see that happen in college football. But Joe, welcome to the show. And what did you end up watching this weekend?
Leave it to us NCOs to not follow the details. I tuned in for most of the Army North Texas game, and I once again was very impressed with their defense. North Texas was averaging 41 points a game coming into the contest. And I mean, if you let that sink in, I feel like the announcer in Rocky IV when he was like, "Hey, folks, Ivan Drago's for real." that Army defense, man, they might bend, but 2 interceptions in the end zone, they don't break, and they've been doing that all season. So it was great to watch. I watched chunks of the Ole Miss absolute drubbing of Georgia. Let's just say I was surprised with that result, and I'm sure some of you are. Then not to be forgotten, Alabama said, oh, that's cute, Ole Miss. Watch this. And absolutely floored the LSU Tigers in their own building. Two statement games from the Rebels and Bama. And I'll talk about Michigan later on, but they're going to be in the lineup where they deserve to be, the bottom. Not happy with the Wolverines. So
before we go on, can I ask how soon or what the odds are that a two-loss SEC championship team still gets like the number one seed in the college football playoff, or at least into the top four? Because that is the direction we're headed right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want to see it, but the reality of it is, again, it's about dollars and cents. It's not about what makes sense. And, you know, a two-loss Bama that's a SEC champion. I mean, they've already said, as you know, champions get in, but like, what does that look like?
I will say that watching Ole Miss and Indiana play in the same day, Ole Miss throttles Indiana. Throttles them.
I don't disagree with that.
I think Tennessee beats them. I think Alabama beats them. So I do think that the quality of the small group of competition in the SEC is going to mean something if these Big Ten teams keep knocking each other off, which I think Ohio State's going to most definitely handily beat Indiana next week or in two weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'll be interesting because, you know, Will Howard found his groove this week, you know, and he looked, he looked way, way better this week than he has in previous. And I think it's just like, he's getting comfortable or whatever, but like, you know, accounts for four touchdowns, threw for three, ran another one in. It's like, that's a big dude to try and stop. And Indiana is good, but, you know, look at their competition to this point.
Michigan's defense was stoning them. They just gassed. Any team that hangs points is going to beat Indiana because that's it. Their offense wore out our defense, and Michigan still should have won the game.
Yeah. And speaking of wearing people out, we have somebody that's not going to wear you out as you're shopping for your new home. So
transition. Beautiful.
God.
Hey, I've been working on those all season.
I see.
So yeah. If you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics there. She discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, she should be your first call. She's decided to support Ask for Football this season, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Back over to you, Dano, for the Service Academy standings. It's a little bit expanded this week because we're actually going to talk about everything else that's going on right now.
So we'll start, obviously, with we've got number 18 Army in here. I went through this and didn't correct that. It does depend on who you ask. But Army beat a very good team from North Texas this past weekend, 14-3. And honestly, they didn't even really play their best football offensively. So they left at least 7 points on the board. I'm not complaining about that either. I'm just saying, like, they beat a pretty good football team on not Bryson Staley's best day. Army's defense is just, there were lights out in this game. North Texas, as we just said, has one of the best offenses in the country. Army held them in check. They bowed up in the red zone. North Texas took 4 trips into the red zone, which by itself is amazing, because this is a team that just, you know, drives down the field relentlessly every time. They came away with a field goal, a turnover on downs, and 2 picks. And let me tell you, that goal line stand, I mean, if you're North Texas, you're probably upset that that didn't get called a touchdown, but you got to score from the 1 yard line, guys. I mean, holy smokes, just to get stoned like that. On offense, Bryson Daly carried 36 times for 153 yards and 2 touchdowns, 2 of 4 passing, threw his first pick of the season. Talk about that in a minute. I mean, actually, let's talk about that now. That play was there. He just underthrew the ball. Yeah, it was probably 5 yards short and 2 yards too far into the field. If he'd thrown that 5 yards downfield and a little closer to the sideline, that's an explosive play. It was totally there.
I threw that pick before Notre Dame.
I'm sorry?
I'm glad he threw that pick before Notre Dame because it gives him something to look at, and he's not going to get caught with his sleeping against the Irish because that's when they crush you.
I mean, he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. That's a throw that, you know, we haven't seen that all season from him, but, you know, dude hasn't practiced in 2 weeks, and he missed a throw. He missed a throw. Yeah. Okay.
Something to work on. He's been throwing damn near perfect. Been
throwing exactly.
10 times he's thrown really well all season. So maybe a little wrinkle of a screw up in there kind of gives him something to sharpen up before Notre Dame, and couldn't be at a better time in my
Kanye Udo took 13 carries for 65 yards. They honestly could have fed him a little more towards the end of the game. He was breaking some long runs, and I was a little surprised they kept going back to the quarterback power. But, you know, I got the sense watching that they didn't necessarily want to break any explosive plays. Like, the coaching staff came in with a plan to grind out the clock, keep North Texas offense on the sidelines, and win a close contest. And that absolutely worked, to the point that North Texas had the ball for 38 seconds. In the third quarter, those dudes sat on the sidelines for more than half an hour of real time at one point. That and the red zone defense, like, the game, there's nothing to analyze. That's the story of the game. So Army is now number 25 still in the college football playoff rankings. They're also number 25 in SP Plus, which we've absolutely never seen. That's at least 25 places higher than we've ever seen them ever. That's amazing. AP has them at number 16. Coaches poll has them at number 17. Rob, you want to talk about this now or later?
We can talk about it now because we got time. But I would tell you, like, defensively, again, really not much to say. The accolades or the superlatives are coming out again on the Army defense, and it's like they played incredibly well. I mean, there's a lot of physical play, and I like that they contained, you know, Chandler Morris. He didn't get much outside, so he didn't run on him. Couldn't throw on him.
He's a good runner too.
Yeah, like he's a solid
run. Yes, he is. He had a 50-yarder. Against a pretty solid team earlier this year.
Yeah, he's probably, and we say this every week, but he's probably the best quarterback that Army's faced to this point in the season. And, you know, credit to them to be able to contain that guy with, you know, the talent that we have on the team. But on the offensive side, you could tell that, you know, although Daly is still a physical runner, he was a step behind. And it's just because, and it shows, like, when somebody takes 2 weeks off, particularly midseason, it always shows that, you know, it shows up in their play. Not to say that he played bad, but he just didn't play to his usual standard. The other part of it is like the reality of the, you know, we can dive into the fake field goal, right?
Let's talk about that. Coach talked about it. I mean, go ahead. Yeah.
But the other part of it is when your defense is playing that good, you can take a fake field goal, you know, like you can not have those 3 points on the board when your defense is, when your defense is playing that well, it's like you can assume a little bit more risk and take the chance. Cause if it breaks, you know, you win 21-3 versus 14-3, you know, or like, I get it, you know, not to say that I agree or disagree with the call because at the situational dependent, but like if their defense is playing the way that the defense is playing, dude, take all the risks on offense that you want because they're shutting them down, you know?
And so, it's also a mental thing too, because it's what Dan Campbell does with the Lions a lot of times. And what it says to the other team is, you don't concern me, you know, and you're basically letting them know, I'm not scared. We don't get it. No big deal. You can't stop. You can't get by us. And, you know, I think they did a great job against North Texas to get ready for Notre Dame. I really do. And, you know, if this was the Army show, I would get deeper on it. But the fact that they don't break in the red zone.
That's amazing.
Like Chandler Morris, he got his passing yards. He didn't get his rushing yards, which are usually broken plays for big plays. And he could not throw a touchdown. He threw zero touchdowns and two picks. And Riley Leonard loves the red zone. And I think he's going to be in for a surprise when he plays Army's defense. I really do.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is DT Sheffield never got going. Like he had one,
too.
Like he's had so one cool play, and that dude is a game breaker. Like he's a starter on any team that he goes to, you know, and that guy, you know, is a talented athlete that got shut down as well. And I think, you know, keys for the Army defense, keep the, you know, like offense, help us out, keep the ball out of the opposing quarterback's hand, and then we shut them down in the red zone. I mean, if you can do those two things, you know, better than even chance that you're going to win the ball game.
So the one thing about that fake is that they called the fake for a specific look and they didn't get the look. And Coach Munkin said, I think it was coming out of halftime, that he should have called timeout, but he thought that his holder would see the look and call off the fake, but the holder didn't see it. So it was just a miscommunication. And the whole series there, like, Daly didn't see how much time was left on the clock. It was close. I mean, it almost worked. And the thing that made it not work wasn't the yardage. It was the time. But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The one thing I will say on this game, and then I'll shut up and move on to Navy, is that they did not give Daly hardly any reads in the option. It was almost all called runs. And I'll be curious to see if that's what they do going forward, because he's a good runner, but Kanye Uda was really ripping off some long runs, and I was very surprised that they kept going back to Daly with, you know, Uda running for 7 yards per carry there.
But yeah, well, I think the other part of it is like, it's an embarrassment of riches in the Army.
Well, yeah, field,
right. True. You've got, there's so many weapons back there. You've got Tyrell Robinson and Noah Short, mm-hmm. and Kanye Uda, Jake Rendina, you know, Hayden Reed, and the list goes on and on and on in the Army backfield. So there's so much talent there. It's like, it's kind of a disservice, because not all of those guys are going to get to touch the ball every game or get, you know, 10 to 15 touches a piece. Ideally, that would be super awesome. But the other part of it is like, if you've got to grind out a drive, like, I'm going to trust it between, you know, my senior quarterback and, you know, my super solid, you know, sophomore fullback, you know, I'm going to keep it between those two dudes and just smash people. And if they can't stop them, hey, just keep smushing them.
So Martin Huddle says, I think Army was content to run QB power, no ball exchanges, and keep other stuff off film. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the off film part, I totally agree with.
Yeah,
you don't want everyone to see anything you're hiding.
So moving on, Navy ran over South Florida 28-7. This was such an interesting game. The mid scored two touchdowns quick, like opening possession, got an interception, and then they came back and scored again. And then nothing happened for the rest of the first half until they scored right before halftime. And I want to say that was off another turnover as well. But USF's defense played really well. They just got put in some bad spots, but their offense could not do anything at all. You know, so Navy still just went 7 of 17 on third down. They created some chances, but man, Bryce Archie, I wish Omar was on here. He loves Bryce Archie, but threw two picks, lost a fumble, failed on two fourth down conversions. Like, that was not good enough. Mids finished with 321 yards rushing on 5.4 yards a carry, but they still don't like sustain offense for these long drives. Like, they're not doing what Army's doing. They're still very good offense, don't get me wrong, but it's a very different way of working it. They got to hit those big plays because they're not grinding it out. They host Tulane on Saturday. I almost picked Tulane. I realize I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't know, man. Since they're at Navy, they play really, really, really well at home.
Yeah.
That's our chance to get those, like we said, the back-to-back Army-Navy games. And then Air Force surprised everybody, got off the schneid, 36-28 win against visiting Fresno State. That's a good win. Fresno came in with a winning record. Zoomies racked up 344 yards of total of rushing yards, 4.3 yards per carry. Defense held Fresno State to -5 yards rushing on 12 carries. That is solid. New quarterback Quentin Hayes, he's a keeper, man. They might have found their guy. Shame they waited until November. What can you do? Air Force will host Oregon State Saturday, and I'll be surprised if they don't win again because they look like themselves. And just moving on, well, before we move on, you guys want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so go ahead.
That Air Force win against Fresno. I saw Fresno play against Michigan, and they're not a pushover. I fully expected Fresno to win that game.
Yeah, I did too.
And Bray Kimble, that's a great comment. First time all service academies have won on Veterans Day weekend since 2010. Parentheses, I think.
Yeah.
But Veterans Day weekend and they all win, but nobody saw Air Force winning that game. And sometimes it takes these teams. We've all been on teams like that before where it was like, man, when the coach gets this figured out that so-and-so should be playing here and here, we're going to be a different team. And sometimes it takes a half a season of feeling things out to see who your playmakers are. And it's good to see Air Force play a respectable game against a tough team.
They definitely have a bunch of young players on that team. Sorry, Rob.
No, I was just going to say, I think the trend is you lose the Army, you put your backup quarterback in, and he tends to be the better of the two guys. You know, like, look at what's going on at ECU, and not to, you know, completely jump on that train, but like, hey, look, Army playing ECU with the way that they're playing now, Caden Hauser, that dude's a stud, man. Like, they put up 105 points in 2 weeks, you know? So it's like, hey, what's going on, you know, at ECU? And maybe it's because they made that change and, you know, fresh eyes in the locker room. Maybe he's a more inspirational dude. I don't know. But you know, you score 105 points in two contests, you're not doing so bad.
That's legit. So non-FBS service academies, we've got 4 and 5 Coast Guard taking on 5 and 3 Merchant Marine Academy this weekend for the Secretary's Cup, which is the Division III CIC trophy, as was established in 1981. Trophy changed to the Secretary's Cup after the Coast Guard moved from the Department of Transportation to Homeland Security. These teams have 52 total meetings. Merchant Marine leads them 37-15. Probably going to take that one to 38-15 if I had to guess.
Yeah. I mean, this should be a good contest. That'll be on Flow Sports if you have it. Again, that's just a weird channel. I guess it's a streaming service, but I'll let you watch some of the out-of-sector games. Also, let's hit around the American game of the week, of course, is going to be Navy and Tulane. I think Navy, you know, after dropping two back-to-back, they come back and look really, really good against USF, and then they got to play a tough Tulane team. It's going to make the top of the American look spicy because you basically have the three team, you know, two of the three teams that are at the top of the heap, at least in the power rankings for the American, are going to be playing this weekend. Army's got a bye, but then they've got a tough contest against Notre Dame after the bye week. You know, Tulane is 6-0. They're right behind Army, at least in the conference, and they are trying to position themselves for the conference championship with the offhand chance that Boise State stumbles. And like, after watching that Nevada game, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, because they did not look as good as they have in previous weeks. Don't know if fatigue is setting in on Austin Gente, but he got his yardage, but like the offense did not look as near as potent as it was previous weeks. Other games of note, you got UTSA and North Texas. That'll be an interesting to watch because UTSA is in the middle of the pack. North Texas has the explosive offense. See if they can get it back together at home. You know, they're playing at Denton, Texas against UTSA. That's basically a home game for both teams. We'll see what happens with that one. They couldn't move the ball against Army, but, you know, UTSA's defense is nowhere near as stiff as the Army defense. And then the last game of note, of course, is going to be Tulsa at ECU. I think this game is going to be crazy. I think ECU looks way, way better with Caden Hauser as a starter. They've managed to put together back-to-back wins. Tulsa is very, very beatable, and they are not trending upward. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if ECU can put the offense together. Don't be surprised if they hang 45 on them.
Can ECU technically still make it into the American Conference Championship? Does like some crazy shit have to happen? Because talk about a team that I really don't want to play again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think we will, but holy smokes.
Dude, yeah.
Those guys. Yeah.
That's a good team. I mean, they've always been a good team, but they figured it out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Joe, let's move on to the top 10.
All right, let's do it. Oregon stays in the top spot at number one. No change here as the Ducks won comfortably against Maryland, 39-18. Oregon travels to play Wisconsin in a night game this Saturday. At number two, no change again. We got the Buckeyes of Ohio State. They stay firmly planted with a 45-0 blowout over Purdue. Ohio State travels to Northwestern this Saturday. Number three, we got Texas. The Longhorns jump up two spots as they absolutely handled business against Florida, 49-17. Texas heads to Arkansas this Saturday, which is maybe a trap game late in the season on the road. At number four, we've got the Nittany Lions of Penn State. They jump up two as they welcome Washington into Happy Valley in the Big Ten, winning 35-6. They got the Boilermakers this Saturday, and they're away. They're at Purdue. Indiana, this is a fun one. They jump up three spots as the Hoosiers won a very ugly football game against the Michigan Wolverines 20-15 to stay undefeated. They have a much needed week off before traveling to Columbus to play the number two Ohio State Buckeyes on the 23rd. At number six, we got the Tennessee Volunteers bumping up one spot. The Volunteers just keep winning games as they pummeled Mississippi State 33-14. Tennessee might be playing the one team in the country I would not want to play right now. They are away at Georgia on Saturday.
I very much wish that game was going to be in Knoxville because I think they're going to get beat on the road, but that's unfortunate.
I would be saying the same thing about my Wolverines. I would hope that game was at home. But, you know, Tennessee, I don't believe that they're scared, and Georgia couldn't run the ball against Mississippi. So, you know, if Tennessee can stop the run, it seems like their quarterback is prone to some mistakes, as Colonel Rob was saying earlier. BYU bumps up two spots to number seven. as they had a bit of a road scare, but come out on top 22-21 over Utah. They play Kansas at home on Saturday. At number eight, we got the Irish and Notre Dame. They bump up two spots after kicking Florida State when they're down 52-3. Notre Dame has Virginia coming into town on Saturday. And number nine, we got Bama bumping up two spots. Look out, the Crimson Tide have receipts and came into Death Valley and handled the LSU Tigers 42-13. Didn't see that one coming. Bama's playing Mercer on Saturday.
Yeah, how did that happen? Like
Mercer, bro.
They always play a jobber the week before the Iron Bowl.
I had to be a smartass about it, but it's like Mercer, bro. Really? Mercer? Yeah, it's like sure. you drank White Claw? Anyways, number 10, we got Ole Miss roaring back into the revolving door spot at number 10, jumping up six spots after dominating Georgia in the trenches and not allowing the Dogs to get away with any running game consistency. Georgia folded 28-10. Ole Miss is away at Florida this set.
Yeah. All right. So moving into the top 25 losses for the year, notable losses as noted, Georgia lost to Ole Miss 28-10 in the battle of the Saban coaching tree. Looks like Lane Kiffin had the edge at least this year. I mean, he's always had trouble getting over against Kirby. I mean, Kirby has been dominating, but like the reality, I think the real story, the story inside the story, was the play of Carson Beck. Man, that guy, like, he's just not consistent, and that is costing his team games for real. How about the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech handing the Canes their first loss? Like, everybody thought, like, okay, you know, it's typical for Miami. They're going to fall behind. It's not going to look all that good. And then, bro, brother, Haynes King is the truth. Like, that guy, if he's healthy, is going to win a football game for you or die trying. Like, I really like that kid. I think he's a really impressive player. And the rest of the team stepped up, too. And quality win, you know, 28-23 in Atlanta. So that, you know, advantage to Georgia Tech, but who saw that one coming?
I mean, yeah. Miami has been living dangerously all season.
Yeah.
They deserve to lose that game against Cal. So I was super happy to see this one.
Yeah. Miami's been tap dancing on a razor blade for about 3 weeks. So that's not a surprise. Yeah.
They've been blade running for a while. Virginia Tech was, they should have lost that one too.
Yeah. Dude, Bama bludgeon LSU. I really thought LSU was going to have more for them. I mean, like, normally, especially if they're playing at Death Valley down at their place, LSU is in the driver's seat on that one. And it just, oof, bad to happen. The Jayhawks, how about that one? That was a sneaky one. Kansas took out Iowa State. So Iowa State took their second loss. You know, score doesn't indicate how physical that game was, because Kansas took it to them, and it was ridiculous. And then how about this? The Virginia Cavaliers came into Pittsburgh, were not intimidated, and shut down the Panthers 24-19. That really puts the ACC wide open, right? So SMU is clearly in the driver's seat in the ACC right now. They beat, you know, a previously undefeated team, and now, you know, like, God, man, Pittsburgh backsliding. What is going on? Like, that seems to be the trend. These teams that, like, they get bopped on the nose and then they just start losing control of the rest of their season. But this will be our last week covering the AP top 20. We're going to continue to cover the top 25 losses in the AP just because we've been doing that for the last couple of years. But we're going to shift over to the playoff top 12 next week to keep track with what's coming out with the committee and what's going on there. Like, it's starting to get a little bit crazy. You know, because Miami lost, so that immediately should have tossed them out of the top five. BYU barely won, so that, do we keep them in the top four? Do we continue to reward them for, you know, shoddy play at home? I don't know. But again, what I saw was not very impressive by comparison to the other performances that we saw from BYU earlier in the season. And speaking of poor performances, it's time to go to Joe's Blue Falcon of the Week.
This one's painstaking. You guys know I don't like to give this distinction to individual players who didn't do something horrific, but I have to this week. Davis Warren, starting quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday. You are my Blue Falcon, and I'm going to tell you why. We'll start with 16 for 32 on passing attempts. Let's talk about the gravity of those incompletions, because at least five of them were drive killers. Some of these passes that I watched you airmail were not even close to another human being. And that's why you threw no interceptions. The defense wasn't around them either. The defense for Michigan was on the road playing its guts out against an undefeated top 10 winning team. And the defense was winning. They were winning most of the battle, yet every time they got a breather, Michigan would go out there and perform the old dance routine of 1-2-3 kick. The receivers were open. The offensive line gave you a pocket, but you had 32 pass attempts, and at least 32 times I watched you flinch off the number one read and then hold on to the football. This is big-time college football. You can't hold on to the ball that long against an undefeated team in their own stadium and expect good things to happen. Yet, for some odd reason, I watched you do it for four quarters on Saturday. If just two of those drive killers I spoke of were completions, then Michigan wins going away. Michigan went from national champs to laughingstock in the blink of an eye, and Saturday was a shot of redemption and could have been the saving of a season. Instead, we looked like we didn't have a scholarship quarterback, and for that reason, Davis Warren, you're now inducted into the Honorary Hall of Blue Foul. It was some of the worst quarterback play I've ever seen at Michigan, including the dark ages under Rich Rod.
Very nice.
The Hall of
the Blue Falcons.
Yes, and that's a lot coming from
the Honorary Hall of the Blue Falcon.
Yes. All right, sure.
Cut it up like it's more than it is, but it sounds fancy.
Yeah, it really does. So moving on to the topic this week, you know, so if you listen to any of the shows this season, one of the things that has come back recently is the Lambert Trophy. So James from Brigade Review is on the search committee for those guys. And so it made me start to think of other things, as well as, you know, doing some background on the Secretary's Cup. I was like, okay, well, what college football rivalry has the best trophy? And of course, immediately I got shot in the face by everybody in the Falcon from the Firsty Club, because they were like, dude, like, it's got to be the CIC trophy. Agreed. I think the CIC trophy is probably one of the cooler rivalry trophies for two reasons. One, the trophy is badass, but the other part of it is the winning team actually gets to go to the White House and kind of hang with the president and, you know, give the jersey exchange and all that cool stuff. So I think, yes, like, I think that's in a class by itself, just given the way that it's isolated from major college football. But what I wanted to do is kind of dive into some of the other rivalry trophies that are out there and get your thoughts on which one is the best. So we'll start with Joe, move over to Dan, and then I'll wrap it up.
All right. You know, I'm feeling nostalgic this Veterans Day, so I'm going to take it back to my childhood. And for some reason, my favorite trophy as a kid was that ugly little brown jug that Michigan and Minnesota play for every year, mainly because Michigan won 25 times out of 30. So the game was always fun. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have a mom that worked in Michigan, so we had season tickets. So I saw that game a lot. Also, I've always really liked the Paul Bunyan trophy because it meant the best collegiate football team in the state of Michigan. And Michigan has primarily held on to that thing while smacking little brother around for the last half century. To understand why Michigan fans enjoy beating Michigan State to its fullest extent, you have to live here and experience their fans. Just the simple fact that we have bragging rights always made me have a soft spot for that trophy. So I figured I'd throw in the two Big Ten ones, because Ohio State and Michigan, believe it or not, have never had a trophy. I don't think they should, because
what?
Yeah, the game has its own aura to where the point that they call it the game. So I think you're creating a trophy after 100 years is kind of like saying feel a little insecure about the game. So I don't think they ever will, but I like those first two. The Minnesota one's great because it was Michigan bringing their own water because they didn't trust the drinking water at Minnesota, and it was in a little brown leather jug like they did back most days. So probably the same leather they made the helmets out of. But that's mine.
Nice. Awesome. Dano, how about you?
So I've always been partial to Thanksgiving Day college football. So I kind of went seasonally. And so I guess I actually had to look this up because I have not given this like shitloads of thought. But the Golden Egg, which is the trophy that goes to the winner of the Egg Bowl between Ole Miss and Miss State, is probably my favorite just because I love that game, because it's Thanksgiving and college. We need more college football on Thanksgiving. That's just from jump. And then the Ram Falcon trophy I talk about all the time because they sometimes play for that on Thanksgiving Day, which I think we should make the Zoomies play on Thanksgiving Day every single year for my personal amusement. You know, when they do play it on Thanksgiving Day, I'm invariably watching that thing screaming for the Colorado State to kick their ass and doing my turkey outside. So those are two. And then final note, apparently there's this thing called the Platypus Trophy that goes to the winner of the Civil War, which is Oregon State. And it's like a big plastic platypus on a wooden pedestal. And the thing is absolutely badass. So there you go.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Dano. So some of the other ones that were mentioned from members of the Firstie Club is the Jeweled Shillelagh. And the Jeweled Shillelagh is the Notre Dame USC trophy that they exchanged at the end of that one. The Ninth Island Trophy, which is basically UNLV versus Hawaii. They have a showdown every year, and they hand it between UNLV and Hawaii between the winning to the winning team. And of course, Paul Bunyan's axe between Minnesota and Wisconsin. That's always a big one. And then my mine that I looked up, I actually did a little bit of research on this just because, like, I used to watch it all the time. It hurt me when all the conference realignment started to happen, and that was the backyard brawl. So I went to high school in Western PA. And so the backyard brawl was something that I saw every year on television in high school. So I thought it was always cool. I didn't realize that it was the 14th oldest rivalry in major college football. So surprisingly, Penn State used to be part of it. So they used to have like a similar in-season tournament, like the Commander in Chief's Trophy. And then somewhere between 1951 and 1984, those things changed when Penn State lost the trophy. So I'm assuming it's probably in a locker room somewhere, buried somewhere on campus. And they just didn't want to give it back. And so that basically ended the three-team triangle game that was happening. And then, of course, for the last 40 years, it's been just Pitt and West Virginia playing every year. And that got all screwed up with the conference realignment, but they have been scheduling that one to get those teams back, because now you got a Big 12 team and an ACC team. And that happened when, like, the Big East dissolved all those years ago. That was basically the end of the backyard brawl for a couple seasons. And then they finally bought it back when they figured out the conference schedule for that one. But speaking of figuring things out, we can help you figure out how to get a great mortgage. And we will pass it over to Dan for the next read.
Friends, if you've listened to this show before, you know that we are sponsored by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point Class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country, going to give you super competitive rates, going to give you the best deal he can. And it matters because, like, mortgage rates jump around all over the place. I mean, we just had an election. I'm quite sure that didn't make mortgage rates settle down. And so as you're trying to settle in on when you're going to lock in your mortgage rate and sign all this paperwork, you'd rather deal with somebody you can actually talk to. Now, with a big box bank, random call center, you know, get a mortgage from China.com. Like, it's just a bad deal. Go with somebody you can actually work with, who's a regular, real person. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That is a gigantic savings of like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. So, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, check him out. The link is on our website. Just go to asforfootball.com. You'll find his little business card there. It's the second one from the top. Click on it. Fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in just a few hours.
Thanks, Dan. I'm moving on to the games of the week. Hey, tomorrow, we got Saturday night action again. So you got Ball State at Buffalo, Central Michigan at Toledo, Western Michigan at Bowling Green. If you don't watch those games, you're missing out, because the MAC is one of the most competitive conferences in college football. And they play on Tuesdays, which is just insane. But it also is great for them because it gets a lot of visibility on the football that they are actually playing. On Wednesday, we've got Akron at NIU, Eastern Michigan at Ohio, Kent State at Miami of Ohio. Then moving into Thursday, that's when we start getting into outside of the MAC league. So East Carolina and Tulsa plays on Thursday night. So if you guys are interested in checking that contest out, I would watch that one. Again, East Carolina is trending upward. Tulsa is kind of so-so, middle of the road. It'll be an interesting game to watch. You've got North Texas at UTSA on Friday night, kicking at 8 on ESPN2. Moving into Saturday, opening matchup is going to be Tulane at Navy. That kicks at noon on ESPN. Again, I'll say that for the folks that are habitual Service Academy watchers, they have moved it to noon on ESPN2. Utah takes on Colorado. That should be a good game. The Utes are kind of licking their wounds after a very, very close matchup with BYU. They are chomping at the bit to, you know, take a shot at the top ranked teams in the Big 12. So they're going to come after Colorado with a vengeance. That should be interesting to watch. Louisiana Tech at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is a solid team, man. Like, they usually perform pretty well year in, year out. So I would check that one out if you're interested. You got Liberty at UMass. That one's going to be an interesting game. UMass is playing decent. Liberty is not as good as they were the past couple of years. And this might be a trap game for them because they're going on the road against the team that they should beat soundly. You've got number two, Ohio State versus Northwestern in Chicago. I mean, in the past, Northwestern always plays Ohio State tough. After that performance they put on against Purdue, I just don't see it happening. Number five, Texas at Arkansas. It's like hard to believe Texas is number five and like nobody is talking about them. You know, like it's like they vanished off the map after they lost. And it's like, oof.
Well, they didn't just lose. They got thrashed. So, you know, everybody's like, okay, we know who they are.
Yeah. That's true. That's a fair point. Then you got Clemson at Pitt. That's going to be a much better contest than we thought because Clemson is trying to, you know, get some street credibility back, and Pitt needs to bounce back out of the slump that they're in. Can they go, you know, 1-2 out of their last three, or are they going to be, you know, watching Clemson beat them down? You've got Mercer at Alabama, and I'm just calling that one out because, again, that's like I thought we got rid of cupcakes as we moved into conference realignment. Clearly not. Florida Atlantic at Temple. Hey, those are like two bad teams in the American playing each other, but I think like one of them has to win. So if you're a fan of either one of those teams, I would check that contest out. You got Michigan State at Illinois. Illinois started off hot. They kind of cooled off a little bit, but Michigan State is, you know, Childs is a good quarterback. I think that kid's going to be pretty amazing if he stays at Michigan next year. And the latter half of the season is going to be indicative of potentially how he's going to look going into 2025 season. Let's see. You've got, you know, Syracuse at Cal. That's going to be an interesting game. I think Syracuse has got to travel to the left coast. So they've got their work cut out for him. Kyle McCord is playing lights out right now. He had one bad game, and that dude is, you know, every bit as much of the quarterback that they wanted him to be at Ohio State. He's doing it for Syracuse. So it'll be interesting to see how that ends up playing. Got USF at Charlotte. That's on ESPN+. If you are an American fan, that's a good game to watch. Oregon State at Air Force. I mean, it's Air Force. I don't know if they'll be able to put two back-to-back, you know, FBS wins together, like, because they haven't been able to do it for the last two seasons, right? So we'll see what happens on that one. Plus, if the Zoomies lose, I'm not going to cry about it. You've got Louisville at Stanford and Nebraska at USC. That should be an interesting contest because USC, like, are they going to fire, you know, Lincoln Riley? I mean, that guy's terrible. I mean, we haven't really talked about USC that much. And that guy is an offensive coordinator impersonating an NFL head coach.
They just disappeared off the face of the earth once actual football started getting played.
Yeah, like they're just getting smashed. And like, don't be surprised if that game against Nebraska is a lot closer than they think. Jam, you had Old Dominion. Like, James Madison is not having the season that they had like the last couple of years, but they always play Old Dominion pretty tight. That's like a rivalry that's brewing just because they're close in proximity. So I think that's going to continue to trend upwards. You got Boise at San Jose State. Man, like,
Coach Ken could do his good friend Coach Monk and a solid by getting the W this week.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, San Jose State is doing pretty well this week. They got hosed in the last game, and you can go back to the previous note from Brennan about how, you know, Coach Ken basically was like, the officiating was so bad. He said they were trying to steal the game from, you know, San Jose State. We'll see what happens. Like, I don't know. I mean, Austin Gente, like, he's the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. It's going to be really hard to shut them down, but if they do, they have a chance at winning. Tennessee at Georgia. If Tennessee was playing at home, like, they have a chance, they'd be in the driver's seat because they tend to upset teams on the road that are coming there, but they're playing Georgia between the hedges. Like, unless Carson Beck throws like four interceptions, Tennessee is probably going to lose that game. It'll probably be close. It'll be within a score, but we'll see what happens there. You got Kansas at BYU. Hey, Kansas is playing spoiler makers in the Big Ten, so they're trying to ruin people's seasons. They already chipped off Iowa State, and they've got a challenge against them with BYU kicking late on ESPN on Saturday night. Then San Diego State at UNLV. UNLV is quietly doing well. I mean, they're in position to win the Mountain West, and that's without Connor Schluka. So, I mean, that guy.
Matt, he killed himself.
Matt Schluka.
Yeah, yeah, Matt Schluka. I think that whole thing with Schluka, you know, sometimes it's funny because if you talk to players on the 95, 96 team, one of the things that they used to talk about was how Ronnie Makedo was so good on the practice field and like coaches weren't paying attention to him. And then they were like, "Go, let coach, you got to put him in." And then when the injury happened and he came and took over, like Army never looked back for like two seasons when Makeda came in. But sometimes, you know, your team knows a little bit more about the players that you got than you do, you know, because coach can only do so much, you know what I mean? So it's interesting. So we'll see what happens. But that said, let's move on to our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Dano, what you got?
I went 2-1 last week. ECU covered super easily against Florida Atlantic. We talked about that a lot. Navy at USF went way under as well, but I also picked Vandy and they got smoked at South Carolina. So what can you do? Maybe they were at home. I don't remember where they played that game, but anyway, South Carolina kicked their ass. Tough week to pick games this week. I mean, there's a lot of interesting games, but not so many that I felt comfortable picking. So I only picked two. So I've got East Carolina minus 14 at Tulsa. We've talked about that, but if they don't win that by a million, I'll be very surprised. And, Tennessee at Georgia under 48.5. Two good defenses. I think Tennessee, you know, like ECU before they made the coaching switch, that both those teams go a little bit too fast for their own good at times. Both these defenses are good. I'd almost like to take the Vols on the money line just because I think the payout is something, but yeah. Well, give me the under.
All right. That's sounds it. Good. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, last week I went 1-3 as UConn covered, but Syracuse lost and didn't cover. So did Iowa State, and I was in the same boat with Dano on Vandy. I got four picks this week. Number one is Illinois, minus 2.5 against Michigan State. Having seen Michigan play both these teams and knowing what Illinois' defense is capable of and how they play at home, I think they win this game by 10 points. Pick two is Tennessee plus 9. At Georgia. Look, we've seen both these teams play the same teams and mainly beat all of them in similar fashion. Other than Alabama, Tennessee was able to beat them and Georgia could not. And for that reason, I think this game is very close, possibly an overtime game, or someone loses by a field goal or a touchdown. But I feel like this is a disrespectful line to the Volunteers and a little bit of Georgia worship because it doesn't make sense to me. Give me the Vols plus 9. Against anyone.
Nice. All right.
Pick three is Cincinnati plus 9 at Iowa State. I do believe Cincinnati's in danger of dropping their third straight, but if you look at their record, they haven't lost a game by 9 points all season, and the losses that they have had are against quality competition, and Iowa State's coming off almost a 20-point beating by unranked Kansas. I think Cincinnati is most definitely in danger of losing, but it's by no more than a touchdown in my mind. I think they cover comfortably. Pick four is Memphis minus 14 against UAB. I believe the Tulsa Magic was a one-time thing for UAB. They are still a pretty bad football team, and Memphis is competing for a 10-win season. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think this game is even close and for more than a quarter, and I think Memphis will start to impose their will mid-second quarter, and they win by 3 scores with their backups in it. Yeah.
Nice. Sounds good. So I went 0-3 last week, which I cannot believe is the first time in a couple seasons that I've been under 500. So you may not want to take my choices for the next couple weeks until I get myself back on track. I said Memphis to cover against Rice. That didn't work out. I had the Golden Gophers to cover 4.5. They got beat down by Rutgers. And then, you know, Florida and Texas, who would have thought that they would hit under? I thought the defenses were much better, but clearly they did not play any defense in that game. It was like a traditional Big 12 game, rather than a SEC game. But this week, I've got ECU to cover at 11.5 against Tulsa.
Oh, you got a good line. It moved by the time I picked it.
Yeah, I grabbed that. I grabbed it Saturday afternoon, so I was going to stick with that one. They're traveling to Tulsa, but I don't think it matters. Sticking in the American, I'm going to take under between Tulane and Navy. If you're feeling bold, take Tulane to win outright. But I think there's going to be a bunch of points scored in this one, so it's going to be a shootout up until like the second half of the game. And then the third pick is going to sound a little crazy, but take Northwestern to cover 31.5 against Ohio State. I'm not saying the Wildcats are even going to sniff coming close to this, but I think it's going to be Northwestern is better than Purdue. I think they'll score at least 10 points and expect a 42-13 game. And the Buckeyes will be firmly in control, and Northwestern will get a backdoor cover in garbage time. Like, I don't think it's going to be a competitive contest. I think they'll slip it in at the last minute and take it to the finale. But all that being said, we're getting ready to close the show. But if you haven't checked it out, our own Dano Icabesa was on the Lima Charlie radio show over the weekend. So it posted, the live version was on Saturday.
And during the Army game. Yeah, he emailed me. He's like, hey, it's going to be on during the Army game. And I was like, that's awesome, but I'm going to be watching the game. Sorry.
Yeah. But the follow-on was actually released today. And so it's an opportunity to listen to it. It's quick 30 minutes. Like, if you're going to do some cardio or something, check out Dano's backstory. I mean, it's always interesting to find out more about people that you know. But just a good plug for the Lima Charlie show too. So if you're a veteran and you're looking to, make yourself famous, let me know. We'll get you linked up with Rob and he'll interview you. I mean, he's interviewed quite a few people that I know, and he's always looking for different veteran voices from different perspectives. Guy's got a syndicated radio show, so it'll make you at least syndicated famous, if not infamous, if you jump on the show. But
so all that copy of my memoir off that radio interview.
No, there you go.
I mean, one, but still.
Yeah, it's a sell.
Yeah.
All right. Take it. So thanks for joining us here. It's Veterans Day, so we tried to pack in as much as we could in the shortest amount of time possible to cover both that and the Army show. We know Army has a bye this week, so that'll give us a chance to kind of refresh our minds and just watch college football with no stakes unless you're heavily into the FanDuel. But we'd also like to thank all of our veterans, past, present, and future, for joining us today. We would be remiss if we didn't also acknowledge the families of those service members, as well as those whose family member committed to the ultimate sacrifice for the service to the nation. Like, honestly, genuinely, it is our pleasure to bring you, college football talk and talk about the Army team. But the reality of it is there's people that are out there that are hurting. So if you know of a veterans charity, like, toss a couple bucks at them. I know, sometimes financially it doesn't seem like, oh, well, what's $5 going to do? Well, if you find some of these grassroots charities where every dollar goes directly to impacting the people that they support, you can have an impact in somebody's life. So do not be afraid to throw some cash at someone. Joe, you got something?
Gold Star Teen Adventures. We always plug them. They won awards for how much money actually goes towards the kids. And what they do is they take the children of our fallen brothers and sisters out on hunting, fishing trips. They take them on vacation. They take them to Disneyland. They basically take care of the kids, because we're always like, till Valhalla and see you again and rest easy, brother. Well, some of these guys have little ones that didn't sign on for this, that got left behind. And I always tell veterans that I talk to, think about your kids without you, and think how you'd want them to be treated. And that's what this organization does. And Command Sergeant Major Bill Pearson, who I picked UFC against on the Friday night show, that is a charity that he's championed. And they're a fantastic organization. And they take care of the kids that didn't sign up for any of this war. So Gold Star Teen Adventures. I donate to them every year on my birthday. And they do remarkable things with the money they get.
I'm sorry. I'm pulling up the link right now, and I'll drop it in the chat for everybody that's out there, so you guys can grab it really quick. Great cause. And again, everybody wants to thank people for your service, this, that, or the other thing. And the only thing that I always say when somebody tries to thank me for my service is, just be a person that's worthy of it. Most of us gave up our youth to the U.S. government to provide, you know, safety, security, and freedom. So the least that you could do is, you know, not be a crab apple about things. Anyway, for the crew here at Ask for Football, Army Football / College Football Roundtable, I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Triggered Joe calling to you from the home of the Big House. Happy Veterans Day, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Nate.